picture, really, if you think about it, of the devil. What is that picture?
A cartoon.
A cartoon, exactly.
Ridiculous.
It's a cartoon.
Yeah.
But yet, that is the image that most people associate with Satan. He's a cartoon character. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of Christians view Satan, as a cartoon character. In other words, we do not take him seriously. And that is a fatal mistake. Okay? If you do not take your enemy seriously, Chuck, what happens?
You pay the consequences.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Okay? You go up against a force, then you don't know how big it is, what kind of weaponry they have or anything else. You say, oh, we got this. Right? Okay? Guess what shocked the football world yesterday? Anybody have any idea?
Woo!
Texas A&M beat number one Alabama. Alabama good. Has not lost a game since 2019, I believe.
Good.
Okay?
Shock.
And they lost yesterday.
Okay? Yay, Texas!
I'm glad.
Now, my point is that I think Alabama went into that game underestimating the other team. In this illustration, the enemy. Okay? It's really easy when you have a team like Alabama, they've been on top for so long, they're undefeatable, okay, to go into a game against anybody and go, hey, we got this. We got this. And play hard, but they underestimated.
Yes, they did.
Okay? And unfortunately, and the reason I bring that up is because, unfortunately, that's what too many Christians are doing when it comes to Satan. We're underestimating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Power of the devil.
Yes. Go back and look at the description that Paul gives us here of who the enemy is. Okay? Notice these characteristics. All right? He is a ruler. Right? Rulers, when we think of someone who is a ruler, what do we typically think of?
Kings.
Kings?
Yeah.
Dictators. Power, right? I mean, if you're going to rule, you got to have power, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Against the authorities. What do we think of when we think of authorities? Isn't it, again, power?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And then he names it, doesn't he? The powers of this dark world. Okay? And then the last description is against the what kind of forces?
Spiritual
forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I think what Paul wants us to understand is the nature of Satan is power. Okay? He has power. He has spiritual power. And that is something that you and I in our, of ourselves do not have. Okay? In other words, he is a spiritual being. We are physical beings. We are limited by our physical nature. He is not. That's one of the reasons why he can know us so well. All right? So we have got to understand the nature of our enemy. That is his strength. Okay? The power that he has. Okay? Now,
if we're full of the Holy Spirit, he can't touch us.
Well, we're coming to that.
Okay.
Okay? I want to ask it this way. What is his weakness? Remember, we said we have to know our enemy. We got to know our strengths and weaknesses, but we also need to know what our enemy's strengths and weaknesses are, right? Okay, so we know what his power is. Okay, we know what his strength is. What's his weakness?
The Lord Jesus.
Okay, yeah.
Power in
the power of God. Okay, Brian?
Now, like you were saying earlier, we got him painted as a certain picture. So we think we're going to recognize Satan when he comes up. And that's one of our biggest weaknesses, that we underestimate Satan's power and his ability. And we're thinking, oh, I'll see Satan well before he gets here to be able to correct, make the corrections I need to make. But he knows our weaknesses. He knows how to disguise himself to where we're not paying attention.
Yes.
And I think you'll cover it further on. That's why we got to be fully prepared for battle. Because we got to understand that we are physically in spiritual warfare now, because if we're not recognizing or we're not looking for him, we're going to be taken out.
Yes, exactly. Chuck?
Back in the day when the Continental Army was fighting the Redcoats, you knew your enemy because they were bright, blazing red, standing right there in front of you.
Yeah.
But as Scripture says, the devil will pretend to be angels of light.
Yeah, absolutely.
So again, that's modern warfare.
Just
to trick your enemy into thinking you're in good hands, or you're not what you're supposed to be.
Right.
So he gets you again to lighten up. They say, oh, they're British forces. No, they're just using British tanks that they stole, and they're coming at you.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, it is important for us to know our enemy, because again, we have to be assured that our enemy knows us. But he comes in all kinds of forms. What are some of the things the Bible tells us as it describes Satan to us? What does it refer to Satan as?
Father of lies.
Father of lies?
Yeah.
Okay. A deceiver?
Uh-huh.
Okay. It describes him as a roaring lion looking for what? People to devour. Okay? So he is deceitful. He has no honor whatsoever. And he is destructive. Okay? That's what he is about. All right? Satan is not interested in taking prisoners.
Man.
Okay? He's not interested in taking prisoners.
He thinks he's already got it.
Well, he does.
He does.
In a lot of ways, okay? Mm-hmm. But we need to understand, and Chuck brought up something here a moment ago, the tactics that Satan uses, okay? Up until really the Vietnam War, okay? You know, all the other wars we've had for the most part, that we've been involved in up until the Vietnam War, Korea, World War II, all the way back, you know, the Revolutionary War, there was this certain honor, okay, among combatants. And there were uniforms that most soldiers wore. Now, there are cases of espionage and so forth, and, you know, that. But generally speaking, you know, you knew who the enemy was, okay? When we went to Vietnam, we fought a whole different kind of war, because we really got introduced to what is referred to as guerrilla warfare, okay? Where being able to identify truly who the enemy was difficult, because the enemy didn't wear a uniform a lot of times that said, hey, I'm your enemy, okay? We did, right? We did, but they didn't. Same situation going on over in the Middle East. Okay, you have combatants out there, but they're not easily identifiable. And that kind of brings up something that Brian was talking about here is, again, what does Satan look like? Okay? And what does he use to trip us up, to tempt us, and so on and so forth? Okay, Brian?
You say he doesn't take enemies, and he has no mercy.
Yeah.
You look at the Iraq War, they used children with bombs attached to them, so they'd go up to the soldiers, and soldiers say, hey, I'm here to protect them.
Yeah.
And our enemy is vicious and no mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And we underestimate what he was willing to do against us.
Yeah.
And like you said, some sense of being out more, and Satan's knew this tactic from day one.
Yeah.
Have no mercy.
Yes.
And disguise it however you can disguise yourself, whatever it takes, he's going to do it.
And so he may come at you in the form of a friend.
Yeah.
Say, or we would call a friendly. You know, in other words, Satan very rarely advertises, you know, that he's coming at you. You don't get a text message from Satan going, "Hey, I'm coming to tempt you today." All right, he doesn't do that. He uses whatever tactics that he can, and he's got a lot of them at his disposal. He's been doing it since the Garden of Eden, okay? And he's good at it. And as Brian said, he is ruthless. His goal is to destroy as much of God's creation as possible, period. That's his goal. Okay? And we need to be aware of the nature, the true nature of the enemy that we are fighting. All right? Kathy, you had your hand up a moment ago?
I'm just thinking that more and more, I mean, I've known this for a long time, that his tactics are in our brains, in our hearts.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about what we're thinking. I can't hardly keep my mind focused on the straight and narrow. He knows that. And he wants me to fall. And so to me, it's all like spiritual warfare, all about my spirit, all about my mind and heart. So it's inside of us that's where he wants to
yes.
be, where that's the control panel of our
yes,
bodies.
Exactly.
And we have got to keep it with what you're going to talk about next. But I'm telling you, it's all in my heart, soul, and mind.
Yes.
If I don't keep it in tune with the Lord, I'm in big trouble.
Absolutely. We have to understand that the battlefield that this war is being fought on is in our minds and in our hearts. That's where the battlefield is. Spiritual warfare is more about control of the mind than it is anything else. Because if you control the way someone thinks, then you control what?
The whole thing.
What do you control?
Their actions.
Their behavior or their actions. Okay? Control the thinking, you control the actions of the behavior.
And doesn't the scripture say something that men look for ways to do evil?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the stuff we see on the news.
Yes.
Who could have thought of that?
Yeah.
You know, it's just worse and worse and worse. You just can't, they can't think of something worse to put on the news.
It's almost like a contest, isn't it?
It does.
Let's see who can come up with the worst things, the most evil. And that's... that's not just in the news. That's in video games. It's in movies.
Right.
It's in, you know, practically everything that we see out there. They're taking even good things and twisting them around and using them for evil. Just as an example, you know, we just got, by the way, we just got our web page up and running, our website for the Speed is Coming Ministries. When we were doing all of this, I was talking to Tom one day about the domain names and so forth, and we had chosen we wanted to use speedhiscomingministries.org, and he suggested that we go ahead and also register speedhiscomingministries.com and .net. Okay, why? To protect the site. Because, as he pointed out, there are some people that if they find, well, we've got speediscomingministries.org, they'll go to buyspeedhiscoming.com and make it into a porn site. Mm-hmm. And so people go on there thinking they're looking for, you know, Speed is Coming Ministries, and they type in .com and they come up with evil.
Yeah.
You know, that's just an example of how people are always coming up with evil. You know, to infect anything and everything that we try to do, even the good things. That is the nature of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we really need to understand, and I cannot emphasize this enough, we have to understand the nature of our enemy. Okay? one of the problems that we have within, and I'm just going to use the broad tent, if you will, of Christianity, okay? One of the big problems that we have with that is that most Christians don't even realize they're at war.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. They don't even realize they're at war. Okay? Let alone to know much of anything about spiritual warfare. Okay? They think that simply because they go to church and they say prayers here and there and they maybe they read their Bible, okay, they think everything's good. And what has effectually happened is that Satan has taken them out of the fight. You heard me say this before. Satan really doesn't care if people go to church. Okay? He really doesn't care whether we do. As long as we don't start believing what God has to say in His Word. Okay? That's what he cares about. Because he knows that there is power in God's Word. And it is more powerful than he is.
Mm-hmm.
So go to church all you want to. Okay? Worship God, say prayers, sing, have communion, do all of those things. Do it every time the doors are open. He doesn't care. Okay? In fact, I would suggest to you that he's here with us.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
He's here with us. We need to understand that. Okay? Satan isn't afraid to go to church while he's here. What does he do?
Distract us.
Yeah. How many times have you been sitting there, we're doing communion, and you're all thinking about the beach or, you know, what you got to do this afternoon or, you know, during the sermon, you're thinking, well, he's not going to shut up so we can get out of here. We got to beat the Baptist to the restaurants, right? You know, all kinds of things that he tempts us with and gets us thinking, distracting us from what we're supposed to be doing, which is what?
Worshiping
God, you see?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need to understand, he's here. Okay? He's here. And he'll do everything he can to distract us, get into our mind, you know, start getting us focused on brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so that hurt our feelings a couple weeks ago, and we're going to sit on the opposite side of the auditorium from them because, you know, we haven't forgiven them yet, and we don't plan to. You know, all those kinds of things. That's Satan. That's spiritual warfare. But most people don't recognize that for what it is. You see? And so Satan has them sidelined. In other words, they're not in the fight. Okay? Brian, comment?
It's a common tactic in warfare is to use psychological warfare.
Oh, yeah. Right.
With the radio traffic of, hey, you're not going to win this battle. You're going to lose. We're going to overwhelm you. They drop flyers. Satan does that stuff all the time with the psychological warfare. Okay. Perfect example I keep bringing up is this pandemic. Satan tells you can't go do this, you can't get out and do this. It's too bad. And we let Satan control how we live and act and move forward in life, and not realizing what we have in God and the power that He has over all of this.
Yeah.
And so that psychological warfare is one of the biggest ones we fail at, or one of our biggest weaknesses,
yeah,
that we listen. Like you said earlier, Satan deceives us and takes us right out of the battle. We didn't even go to war. We didn't even try to fight.
Yeah, we're sitting there, you know, kind of like the Israelites there with Goliath. You know, they're standing up there on the cliffside, just listening to him torment, you know, them and defy their God, and they're just trembling in fear. You see? And that's how Satan has a lot of Christians today. Okay? It's shaking in our boots. Right? Again, we need to understand the nature of the enemy. Right? He is fierce. He is strong. He is powerful. He is relentless. Okay? And his goal is to destroy as much of God's creation as possible. Okay? And he will do anything he possibly can to accomplish that goal. Alright? So we have to be aware all the time of who the enemy is. Now, any other thoughts on that before we move on here? Wes?
You know, Russ, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, it was a movie that I looked at once, and I've been trying to think of the name of it, I can't think of the name of it. But this is, in this movie, when I was looking at it, this illuminated how the devil was
okay.
to me. The movie had John Goodman in it, it had Denzel Washington. What it was about, this guy that had went to prison, and he was going to die, but he told Denzel that he was coming back and going to, you know, because you couldn't kill him, in a sense.
Right.
Well, what happened in the movie, he kept singing this song, "Time is on my side."
Okay.
And every time he was still wreaking havoc, killing people. And the thing about the movie was, what got me, like I said, it illuminated the devil to me this way, because Denzel was trying to catch him, but he couldn't catch him because every time he would pass by somebody, he'd just touch him. And the spirit really was jumping from one person to the next.
Okay.
And even at this point, Denzel figured out, okay, I'm going to kill him. If he had him in an isolated place and he had nothing for the spirit to get into,
right,
which at the end of the movie, the spirit got into some cat, I think it was a dog or some little animal that was out there, but that's how he got out.
Right.
But still, his own good friend, and as you were saying, like how, you know, we need to identify them, we concentrate on people, because this one hurt me, or this one made me mad, your wife made you angry, your sister or your brother, but it's just the devil inside of these people. As we always say, don't look at the person, look at what the deed
doing, or right.
what they're doing, and it's the devil that's motivating them. But the point I'm trying to bring out is how he had this power of moving around from mm-hmm. person to person, and he would pass by, and what he would do was he would keep whistling or singing the song or humming that song, "Time is on my side." And every time he passed by somebody and they started singing, and that's how he knew that this guy was all around him, mm-hmm. moving from person to person. And it's hard to fight somebody. I'm not saying it's impossible because we got God on our side.
Right.
But to try to identify your enemy when he's jumping around from person to person and all you're seeing is the results of what's happening,
right.
you know, that's enough to kind of like knock the wind out of your sails, but you got to rely on God to know that you still, you know, in the wars, just like a person that got the ability to vanish and then come back.
Right.
Most of the time, you know, we see it, they vanish, they come back, they're always where? Behind you, above
right.
you, somewhere where you're not looking at, you know?
Yeah.
That's where they're going to attack. You
yeah.
At this point.
Good illustration. You know, we have to be aware all the time. Again, the Satan is, he's going to use every tactic that he has available to him, okay? Now, let's shift our focus here for just a moment, and we're identifying the enemy, okay? But again, let's go back for just a moment, and let's make sure we understand who the enemy is not, okay? Because this is a huge problem for us, right? Notice that he says, our fight is not against flesh and blood, right? And so that means people. Right? If you are flesh and blood, then you are not one another's enemy. So that's one of the things that I deal with a lot with couples in counseling, is trying to convince them when they're at each other's throats, you've got to stop fighting with one another, okay? And you've got to start fighting against Satan with one another, okay? In other words, let's get together and fight together against him, okay? And here's the problem. If we're fighting the wrong enemy, and that's what most of the time we're doing, then what's the chances of us being victorious? Chuck, tell us again. The army, what does that tell us?
No, again, the focus, is, and that's what the enemy wants you to do. Say, hey, go fight over there.
Yeah.
Because we're going to take this hill over here.
Exactly, exactly. One of my favorite... Cindy will be surprised to hear this. I'm telling you, one of my favorite all-time movies is the movie The Green Berets. Okay? I've only seen it once. I tease Cindy all the time. I see an advertisement for it says, oh man, I wanted to see that movie forever. I've never been able to see it before. She said, yeah, right. but there's a buildup in this movie that, to me, the reason I spend time talking about this is because I think it perfectly illustrates this particular point, okay? There's a camp that, you know, the American forces have, all right? And the Viet Cong forces are wanting to take that camp, all right? And so all the movie is building up to, you know, they're preparing, they're shoring up, you know, defense, they're bringing in more troops and all this stuff to be able to defend this camp. And then finally the night comes when the attack is on, okay? And the enemy is attacking. They've got this whole, you know, camp surrounded, and they're attacking. And there's one point in the movie where as a lieutenant or major, I guess he is, he's up in the tower, and he takes out Tinkerbell, this night vision goggle, and he's looking around, you know, at the forces that are coming against him. And he says, the force that they thought originally was the main force, he says, that's a ruse. Okay? In other words, that's not really where the force of the enemy is. And he gives the order then, he calls over the phone to the different placements, and he tells them all to strengthen the north wall. Okay? So the next scenes in the movie you see where, you know, the sergeants and all down the line are going down saying, strengthen the north wall. So every, you know, fourth soldier on that line leaves and goes over to the north wall to strengthen that, because that's where the enemy is going to be attacking at the fiercest. Okay? But what they have done is they've shown this, you know, this force here that makes it look like that's where the strength of the enemy is, but that's not where it is. It's over on the north wall. You see? So we have to shore up the north wall is basically the way I put it, okay? We've got to always be looking and be ready. And what Satan does is he convinces us that you know, flesh and blood is our enemy. It's our spouse, or it's our neighbor, or it's our brother or sister in Christ who offended us or did this or did that or what have you. And we get to be fighting against one another, all right? Then we've lost sight of where the real battle is. Okay? Brian?
We got to understand, they're not the battle. They're the ones we should be rescuing.
Right.
And we lose sight of that.
Yes, exactly.
So if we change our perspective and saying, I need to rescue that person, and take ourselves take ourselves out of the picture, as you said before, and do his will to rescue them, there's a huge battle that we've already won.
Right.
That if we realize they are not our enemy, Satan is,
right,
that they're actually the ones we're trying to save, it changes our perspective.
Yes, it changes everything, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, in doing that, though, we need to make sure we understand there are some people that Satan is using, and he's got them so tightly in his grip that they will not be rescued.
Triage.
Okay? Yeah, they will not be rescued at all. Okay? So we have to be careful, you know, along that line also in that. But my main point here is understanding that as we look at one another and whatever grievances we have with one another, we have to know that Satan is using that to try to divide us. Okay? Whatever slight, whatever hurt, whatever anything that somebody else, and especially, again, within families, within churches, his goal is to divide and conquer. And if he can get us fighting against one another, then he knows we're not really focused on fighting him. Okay? So that's why it's important for us to make sure that we know and understand who the real enemy is, what his strengths and weaknesses are, who we are in terms of our own strengths and weaknesses, and then we need to know who the enemy is not. Okay? Who the enemy is not. And again, understand that Satan uses people. Okay? But they are not the enemy. Okay? They're being used by Satan. We have to always remember that. If you have somebody, a person, okay, in your life that is trying to just constantly stir up trouble, then as Brian pointed out, maybe change your perspective on how you interact with that person in terms of not looking at them as the enemy, but looking at them as someone that needs to be rescued. Again, you can't rescue them all because there are some that are so caught up in Satan's, you know, net that they are they're lost and they have no intention or desire to be anything different.
Triage,
yeah.
There's certain people you're not going to be able to save.
Right.
You got to focus on the ones you
the ones you can. Yeah. But the main point I'm trying to make is to make sure that we ourselves don't get caught up, you know, in the whole thing of fighting against the wrong enemy and get distracted, you know, by all those other things. Okay. We've got to keep our focus on who we're fighting, okay? We also have to keep our understanding in that this is warfare that is constantly going on, okay? We sleep at night, at least some of us do, okay? We sleep at night, we rest, we get tired, we take a break from time to time. Satan does not. Okay? He never rests. He doesn't need to. Remember, what kind of being is he?
Spiritual.
He's spiritual. He doesn't need to take a nap. Okay? All right? He is always on the offense. Okay? We have to remember that because it's when we let our guard down that we become the most vulnerable. Okay? So we've got to always be aware. We've got to always be ready. We've got to always be... Now, we do need to rest at times, don't we? Because of our physical nature. Not just physically, but emotionally and so forth. Okay? Chuck, help us out again. I'm just relying on your military experience here, okay? When you've got, you know, troops that are in foxholes, you know, it's nighttime, how do they defend themselves? Somebody's got to rest. So what do?
They take turns.
Take turns, right. Mm-hmm. Okay? And some of them will sit, depending on the circumstance, they'll sit back to back, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? One of them's awake all the time, the other one's getting some sleep, and then they switch off. All right? My point here is that that's a tactic that we need to learn how to use. Rely on one another. Okay? We've got to learn to rely on one another, especially when we're tired, emotionally, physically, we're drained, we're exhausted. Okay? We've got to learn to rely on one another, to watch our back and to be there for us, to wake us up, you know, at times when the enemy is showing himself or what have you. So I always advocate for people to have somebody that you can talk to, someone you can pray with, somebody that you can rely on, somebody that, if need be, whatever's going on in your life, that will hold you accountable, and so forth. See? So in other words, realize that we are not in this fight by ourselves. Okay? One of the strengths that we have is one another. One of y'all had a hand up back here?
I just wanted to say, I don't want to jump, but it's how important it is, like you said, to have a prayer warrior with you at all times and not to try to take on the Satan by yourself, because sometimes you just need to know that. And many times I'll find that, oh, this is just a problem I have and nobody understands. Boom, you find out when you tell somebody, they've been through it, they've got through it, they're fine, you will be fine. And knowing that just encourages you even more to get through whatever struggles you're going through. But a prayer warrior was
yes.
what you were alluding to.
Absolutely, absolutely.
How important that is.
Learning to rely on one another. And by the way, along that line, as we finish up here, that one of the tactics that Satan uses against us is the whole idea of being embarrassed about maybe what we've done or what's happened to us. And so when that happens, what do we typically do?
Climb up.
Do what?
Climb up.
Yeah, we hide inside. We don't want anybody to know. It's too embarrassing. It's too, you know, I'm too ashamed or what have you. And again, that's divide and conquer, right?
Right.
If Satan can isolate us, you see, then he has a better chance of destroying us. And that's what he tries to do.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, so that's, you know, understanding the nature, first of all, of spiritual warfare and what it is, the fact that it is going on all the time. And it's also understanding the combatants, okay? The nature of our enemy and the nature of ourselves. We need to understand those things before we are truly ready to go to battle. All right? Now, next week, we're going to start looking at what God has done and what he has provided for us to be able to be victorious in this spiritual warfare. All right? Okay, thank you all very much.